Hello!
And welcome to the CGW Radio Podcast for September 6, 2006. This is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of Computer Gaming Magazine. Computer Gaming Magazine.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what magazine
You're
I work
fired.
On. Do we need to do a take two? Nah, we'll let it roll. This is live radio, Computer Gaming Magazine. That's nice. I've only been here 10 years. Computer Gaming World Magazine. At least for another 6 or 8 weeks or so, huh? Anyway, I'm here with the staff of Computer Gaming Magazine, who are as follows.
Ryan Scott.
Darren Gladstone.
Sean Elliott.
And Sean Malloy.
And it's nice to see you all in the same room, gentlemen. We have been apart on distant shores, going our different ways for quite a while now.
Too long.
It's the first time we've all been back
Vacation.
Together.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Nice.
And now that we're all back together, there's people with a different look. Ryan has a hirsute beard now, believe it or not.
Rocking the chin strap.
Rocking the chin strap.
He's bringing it old school for the old CGW for this.
And Sean Elliott has a jaunty new cap on.
Oh. Very jaunty.
Paper mister?
Right. Oh, yeah, it is kind of that. Yeah, kind of the old school reporter. Or, yeah, paper boy.
The newsie.
And Darren's bald.
Yeah.
Darren's bald.
I'm letting it shine.
Mm-hmm. And Sean Malloy, well, you did have a beard, and then you shaved it, and now you look like one of those guys who can grow a beard in like 3 days, because already you're like scruffy again.
Yeah, it goes pretty fast.
I find that annoying, because it takes me like weeks to get any hair going. So anyway, do we have anything else to talk about other than our facial hair? We do, in fact. That was a rhetorical question. We have a lot to talk about this week. We'll do our usual round of what you playing, of course. We got some confirmation on the Vista pricing, which hopefully we won't have to yammer on too much about.
Nah.
We will define the word glog for you this week. That's exciting. We may or may not have news for you on StarCraft 2. I think emphasis on the not.
Stay tuned to find out
surprise.
We don't.
We're going to look at the top 10 PC games with a couple random weird surprises on there. We're going to check in on the Leipzig game convention over in Germany. Apparently, they have decided to stop conquering other nations and just play video games over in Germany. I'm sorry. I didn't need to do that. Did I?
You had to go there.
It's kind of impossible not to slam Germany when you're, you know.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. Like, when I was over there in Frankfurt, when I came back from Frankfurt for a crisis story, everyone was like, so, how was Nazi land? And I was like, rather similar to slave and genocide land, in fact. You know, it's like, I mean, it's because we're over here, we just forget that we've got our own, you know, skeletons in our closet.
Dude, that'd be like the coolest part of Disney World, if they actually set that up.
Slave and genocide land?
Sweet.
Well, it is true that when you go over to Europe, they're all like, so is it true everybody carries guns there? So they, you know.
Only
they
in, right, it's only just in perspective. Texas. It's where you're at, you know. So right. That's foremost on your mind. And look, we're playing games all the time. So like I was saying, when I was there during the World Cup, I hear, you know, the Police vans pull up and guys just yelling in German out of megaphones out of them. It was like, on some level, I'm like, when was the last time I heard that? Oh, yeah, like Medal of Honor or something. So I'm like, you know, when I hear German coming out of a megaphone.
Sure, but I think, you know, if you were bar mitzvahed like Darren and I were, and you hear people like yelling in German, your tendency is just kind of run in the other direction.
Or look for a train car.
Nevertheless, that was a long time ago. No. And we probably shouldn't hold our young German friends to that.
Not at all.
They don't need to pay for their sins, do they?
If anything, they're probably the coolest people out there. They have the most level heads on things.
Well,
I like to think I would at least. I hope.
I don't know. Maybe let's get away from... Actually, while we're talking about... That's not.
So awkward. No, I'm just laughing. So awkward. Well, let's get back to games before we get a... legal notice.
From the German office.
From the Germans.
Actually, but speaking of paying for sins, Darren, maybe you can talk about what you were playing this week, because it relates to that.
Oh, jeez.
Did you like that segue?
That was such a great segue. I'm now going to pay for this. So, I started playing Left Behind Eternal Forces, just to give it a shot.
Uh-oh. Nice.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? I really wish that there was someone else here to play the counterpoint, so I don't feel like I'm going to... I don't want to bash the game.
Tell the folks at home what this game is.
Okay, so let's start off by... Okay, so Left Behind Eternal Forces.
I'll play the Left Behind's advocate.
Okay. Thank you. So basically, the game, for those who are familiar with... there's a whole book series. Apparently, Kirk Cameron in the movies. the idea is the
I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I don't know that either.
I can't advocate anymore.
Come on, dude. You're in pains. Anyway, so the rapture has come, and all those who believe that Jesus is your personal savior get saved. Boom. Everyone just gets, like, millions of people disappear off the planet at once.
And then the rest of the planet,
everyone else left behind. So I'm playing this game, and I'm thinking to myself, let's say, like, I'm going to role play for a second. Let's say I'm a 13-year-old Jew in New York playing this game, and I'm like, the message this game is going to tell me is, I'm not going to be saved. I'm going to hell, or I'm just
But that is their message.
But that's the truth. It's just like if I was making a okay. Remember, I'm the advocate again here.
I know. Right, right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. What do you mean? That's the truth.
Well, that's the truth. Now look. Say if I was making a historical game for you, you know, based on whatever war you like, and all of a sudden I said, well, it was really the New Guineans who won. And
but
you said,
did.
"Well, I'm a new, and you know." And you said, "Well, I'm from some other country, well, and I want to be the one that wins." It's just, Darren, this is just simply a factual and historical game.
Well, I guess my only real beef is that, I mean, obviously it's from their perspective, and they're trying to be kind of balanced about it. And that, in that respect, I kind of get what they're trying to do. But there's other parts that I find amusing. I mean, like, as I start looking through it, I mean, like, why pick New York? I mean, you know,
all the good stuff goes down in New York.
I guess
York,
so. Right? It's a cultural mecca.
Darren, also, like, this game isn't... I mean, you're obviously not the demographic for this game, right?
I know, but...
isn't this game basically being sold to...
Well, it's being sold to everyone. They're looking to sell it out there. They're looking to get...
Okay.
You know what? I respect the fact they're making the game and trying to get a message out there and start that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because on some level, I think it needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I mean, like, one of the evil conversion units of the game is a rock musician. So rock is evil, and the musicians are singer song, and the good guys are singer songwriters.
What about Christian
like
rock?
Jack Johnson, I
like
know.
Striper,
dude.
Striper,
do not
Striper
not.
Rocks.
They do. In fact,
actually, let me say if anybody's listening, that we are not being well, maybe we are a little bit, but we're not being judgmental about people's religious viewpoints. Everybody in the staff, you know. We all have our own views or whatever. This is just a minor serious disclaimer here, because this can be an emotional discussion.
It's a loaded,
we play all these fantasy games set whatever. They've got semi-religious theme, mm-hmm. you know, like Doom and whatnot and stuff. But here, mm-hmm. the difference is that it's being put forth in a pseudo-serious context. You know, saying that this is like, you know, when I was playing the advocate, saying that this is more or less... as accurate as we can get to predicting the future based on, you know, mm-hmm. the gospel or whatever. And maybe, mm-hmm. maybe, I don't know, maybe this is offensive too, to some Christians, you know?
You know,
I mean, maybe they get it wrong, because certainly one thing that Christians don't agree on is this time in, you know, the rapture and the end times and all this sort of thing. So it's just built for controversy. In the same way, if you made a Muslim one and, you know, the question would then be, you know, are you leaning more toward one camp? Are you leaning more toward the other? Are there, you know, what do we, what's the accepted sort of, you know, scripture for the end of the world and this and that?
Right. I mean, and I say, at the end of the day, it's actually a pretty interesting game. I mean, like, from what I played so far in the demo, I mean, like, it's not, I mean, it, the context of how the game is played makes some degree mm-hmm. of sense.
That's probably the first question. Is it a good game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, actually, like, I haven't gotten too far into it. It's just a tutorial and a couple demo levels. But I mean, really, you could if you plucked out the religion parts and you put in like some fake religion for mm-hmm. orcs and whatever, mm-hmm. you'd still think this is kind of an interesting kind of game.
Well, it's
are
a
there
good
like
start,
are there Uber units? You know, like the Euro apostles units. Or something. You know, Peter, does he come down and whatever?
Not, yeah, I haven't gotten that far into
it. Is it as rad as like Megiddo? Have you seen that movie?
What?
Megiddo. It's like the sequel to I forget what the first one was, the Mega Code. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Like
I don't know.
They had dragons and stuff coming out fighting Abrams tanks.
Yeah. Do you get that in the game? Or do they have like any of the weird stuff in Revelation come down, like the Wheel of Eyes and stuff?
Mm-hmm. No. You know what? All that the stuff is basically strictly like base level stuff I've been playing so far is just mm-hmm. you know, tanks and people and whatnot, and basically.
Is there base building?
Well,
do you like build a little community on a cloud or something?
Well, no, it's not. It all takes place in New York, so basically.
Oh, it's all in New York.
So,
okay.
So the idea is basically.
Oh, it's because you're the ones left behind.
Exactly.
You're not. This is okay. Right, I was thinking it's an RTS from.
It, man?
You're already in heaven.
No, you're
you know?
Fighting the. No. The this is when you like you resist and you either take the mark of the beast on your head to
uh-huh.
to be able to conduct transactions and this and that, or you're.
If you win, do you get beamed up? Are you no longer like left behind?
I didn't win, so.
You'll have to play the game to find out. Now, what are the factions if these are the people who weren't saved? Who's fighting
I'm
whom?
I'm totally going to bungle the names right now, so I'm just going to say good guys and bad guys. Basically, there's people who kind of like, I wouldn't say born again, but like basically people who are kind of like, you know, their faith has been renewed since the rapture. And then there are others who just become like some kind of international police force who kind of unknowingly are siding with the Antichrist or something. That's kind of the general thing.
Do they have yellow stars on their sleeves?
Ouch.
Oh.
No, come on.
They've got the mark of the beast on their forehead.
Right. We're in dangerous territory.
Yeah, you know what? All I'm going to say, you know what?
That's how it goes. I'm not making that up.
Right.
But how it is.
All I'm saying is, it's not my religion, but I'm still appreciating where they're coming from with the game. And it's and it's not like...
It's an interesting way, I think, to reach
kids.
It's the same way that the U.S. Army is doing it with America's Army.
Exactly.
They're basically saying, here's what kids are doing now, a lot of them, instead of TV, so let's try to reach them this way.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know what?
So it's kind of like VeggieTales for
gamers. I will say, though, I mean, being irreverent toward, like, the Book of Revelation is one thing. And we're not going there, but being irreverent toward the Left Behind series of books is something else altogether.
I agree.
Like
with
I said, there's by no means a uniform block of believers that swear by Left Behind. I mean,
books.
There's some of them, even those that might have, you know, enjoyed the first one. By the sixth or seventh, they kept wondering, well, how many times are they getting left behind, and at what point did it stop getting left behind in like the eighth novel, and they start just making money off the novels, you know?
And they just say,
so, I mean, there's... I could... You know, my parents are very, very, very devout Christians, and they want nothing to do with that and stuff, so I...
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what we need, Darren, is our own, like, Jewish RTS now.
How about the Hebrew Hammer? Just turn that into a...
Mm-hmm.
Done.
You've got that, man. Didn't we have that game in here that was sitting around on the shelf forever?
What?
Remember that one? It was like the 7-Day War game or something, but if you read
the back,
it was like... Pretty Zionistic.
We need like Left Behind and we're sitting in the dark. That'd be the Jewish shirt.
Yeah, it would be like, don't mind us. Don't worry. Uh-huh. We'll be fine. That's okay.
We'll suffer. Okay, let's get away from religion.
Please.
Huh?
Yeah, we're just
that was part of what you're playing. Yeah, politics now. Yeah. How about the upcoming elections? Anyway, has anybody else been playing anything other than Left Behind?
I've been playing a ton of stuff.
Yeah,
there's
just like
too.
Demo Orgy. We were talking about that in the couple podcasts ago, and now it's like after
it's
the Just
Mania.
Cause, we've
it's
got
Demo Madness.
Yeah, there's the 21 Battlefield 2142 beta. There's a Dark Messiah multiplayer beta that just went public, so we can talk freely about that. It's
let's start with
Faces of War. I'm just going to go off like first on all the demos that are out there. Faces of War multiplayer demos out there. Call of Juarez multiplayer demo.
Is the DEF CON demo out yet?
No, we've been playing DEF CON. I've been playing DEF CON hardcore, but that's with our own, you know, advanced sort of access to the download. Company Heroes multiplayer demo is still going strong. Beta,
very excited
rather.
About that.
Yes. Awesome.
What else? And then a very cool mod, Point of Existence 2. That's based on Battlefield 2 engine.
Check that one out.
And I've really been enjoying that. So where to begin in all that? First, say something about 2142 to get out of the way. That's pretty much...
And remember what your mother told you.
Right. Well, you can't really say... I mean, because I feel qualified talking about it because I have played quite a bit of it.
Okay.
And I can't talk about specifics or whatever. It's closed beta, but I can say general. And so far, the general is that I can't think of anything positive to say about it at all.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's just not satisfying in any way, shape, or form.
And you are... truly the most hardcore Battlefield lover
me,
on
yeah,
this
Yeah, you
floor.
Can't call me a dice hater. You can't say that I don't get or don't like the series.
How many hours
you
got logged,
completely,
man?
I'm over 500 now on BF2, and I did just as much on 42, played a whole lot of Vietnam.
So your take on Battlefield 2142 here
is so far
is an informed
train wreck.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, you know, after Sean's warnings, I was ready to just do a scorched earth policy and not install it, but I got my code yesterday. I downloaded it as well and started checking it out. My immediate thought was, it's a trimmed down but still sloppy version of what UT 2004's Onslaught mode was, and what PlanetSide tried doing years ago.
Okay, so why do we, you know,
we can't talk specifics about, but yeah, PlanetSide comes up a lot in the forums and stuff. It's
totally.
It's reminding a lot of people of PlanetSide, but in the wrong ways.
How freely can we talk about this or not?
Let's just not, because it's not, still a closed beta.
Okay.
The other stuff that's open, Company Heroes is open now, Dark Messiah is open. That Dark Messiah, I just started playing last night, so far on that, I can't really give, you know, I'm not going to say, hey, take my word for it on this one in the way I would with some of the other stuff I'll talk about. But not super exciting to me, you know? I mean, the warrior-to-warrior combat is just really mashy. You go out, you can lock on, and it's pretty much two brutes standing in front of each other, and you see who can hit the button the fastest or who's got the higher rank, because every time you kill someone or capture some territory, you can level up and then spend those, you know, attribute points where you want to become stronger, better, you know, have better armor and this and that.
The sword swing combos don't factor in at all?
There's not really combos. There's a power strike and a wimpy strike, and it's just
called?
The difference between, you know, they call one a strike and one like a stance attack, and the difference is holding the button for a half second longer for the other.
I feel like this game is going to be more about the single player anyway.
Yeah.
You definitely, because we all love the single player thing. So, and this is different. It's actually a different developer. It's not Arcane. Mm-hmm. It's, is it Kuju?
Yeah, it's Kuju, which had a spotty record at
least. And, you know, part of the thing is, too, is you've got really slow projectile attacks. So when you do decide to play an archer or a spellcaster, you know, say unlike a shooter where you get your crosshairs on someone, pull the trigger, and it's more or less instantaneous and your damage is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Arrows and spells might travel really slowly, and so the further someone's away from you, they can move just an inch, and it's going to create a huge deviation in your shot. And so some of the times you're wondering if you're hitting them. And then it's really, I think part of what I'm running up against is that I'm coming at it with a squad-based shooter mentality, saying like, okay, I'm used to like, I can have, we've got our medic, we've got our support, and we're differentiated in our roles to a degree. But this, you're really differentiated, and you're, you know, so if you are like the spellcaster, you want to be way the hell back. You don't want to even get close, because anyone with a sword or something is going to run up and get in your face. And so you really have to say, all right, I'm going to go in with my guys. I just have to sit back there and throw spells, much as you would in Guild Wars or something, to heal these guys.
And the archer probably has to take more of a sniper role. I mean, I played an early, like a closed beta of this at one point, and like my one observation was kind of the same lines as, like, you know, whenever I was a spellcaster, I had to like find some kind of like really crazy perch sniper spots so that no one can get me, and then you start raining fireballs down on people.
That's exactly what you do. Yeah. And it just feels, I don't know, it just feels like less dynamic to me. I mean, I like being able to switch weapons here and there and move quickly between those roles. And then here, it's like you're kind of locked into them for quite a while.
It's kind of
funny,
because the single-player game is the exact opposite, because it encourages you to kind of flow. And
that's what's so rad about the single-player game. Yeah, you're all-powerful and being able to do all these things.
Yeah, I really feel like they almost didn't really need the multiplayer here. It seems odd to me. I mean, just as a longtime Might and Magic fan.
Yeah.
And I know that this is a new...
I don't want to discourage the effort, though.
No.
But I mean,
I hope it comes out in the end. I mean, I hope it works out. You know, with the tweaking kind of bears out some of the things that we have problems with. But
yeah. The other thing, too, is it's in the Source engine, and, like, whereas the single-player component feels definitely unique, it's got this weird vibe, and I've played so many games in Source with other realistic, you know, texture and asset set, that it kind of feels like a Source mod in the same way that 2142, like, 100% feels like a mod.
Yeah, when I was playing it, it kind of reminded me of the Eclipse mod. You ever see that one?
No, I know of it. I never got around to playing
that
one.
In some way, it kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah. Cool. We did play some Def Con with Sean. I don't know if you guys got around to it.
No, I didn't.
But I did a little single player.
I'm very excited for it.
Just been proselytizing like that for like crazy online. Yeah.
Where can folks get DEF CON?
Well, it's not available yet, but Introversion is just like working on it, is finishing it up right now, and I think it's going out over. Is it going out over Steam?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know.
It would make sense because
they just put Uplink.
If you haven't already, grab Uplink. I mean, that game
is
awesome.
Over on Steam now?
Yeah.
Which is, we're talking about publisher Introversion, like Darren said. That was their first game, and then Darwinia came after. And so this is their new one. They're known for really stylized games, excellent scores, really
stylized,
cool music.
Small, and just like...
I loved Uplink.
Very different games.
And I know we have some listeners out there that aren't the biggest PC gamers for whatever reason. You crazy fools, just listen to our podcast.
But suck it
this
up.
This is a... DEF CON's a game you can play. I don't care what kind of piece of crap, like, Dell or Gateway you got for
school.
I'm talking entry level.
Okay.
You know, like the Dell that comes in the box that you can't open without like taking the factory or something. You know, you could play DEF CON on pretty much anything. It's just not a system hog. It's basically a game you play over maps. It looks like War Games with Matthew Broderick, the old show. And so you basically, Joshua. You know, I mean, you want to describe it or do you want me to?
Oh, we can keep going.
Okay, you basically pick a country or an alliance of nations, and you have you know, missile silos with all your nuclear assets. You have radar stations that you set out, and then you have air bases. And those are your three things that you can set on your various cities. Air bases can launch fighters, which are capable of sort of probing in enemy territory, shooting down enemy bombers as they come in, enemy missiles as well. And then you can launch your own bombers from them. And then in addition to that, you've got fleets that you put in the ocean. So it might sound complex, but it's not. There's probably like six assets altogether in the game. And in the ocean, you have submarines, which you can launch nukes from, carriers to launch bombers and fighter interceptors from, also to have depth charges and sonar to find subs, and then destroyers to take out carriers. And so it's really simple. And basically what the whole strategy is in forming alliances and like being Machiavellian about things, telling someone that like, hey, let's go get this guy. And then really you've all independently approached that guy in a separate chat channel and say, hey, I'm going to make it look like we're going to faint on you, and he's going to attack. So be ready. Don't go into launch mode. Use all of your defensive, kind of like the strategic defense initiative thing that Reagan was on. Save it for that phase, and then we'll simultaneously like go and hit him once he's already in a launch mode and he can't defend. So stuff like that. I mean, and you see it, and it's great. You see all these lines and nukes everywhere. And the weird thing about it for me is that even though it's just played on a map, I have more of a sense of the gravity of war and annihilation when I play this game than like the goriest of shooters.
Interesting. Why is it the scale, do you think?
I don't know. It's like you look at a map and you see an explosion and the weird soundtrack's playing. You hear people coughing in the background and like hacking, wheezing, and then it's just like 2.5 million killed. It's like you're trying to kill as many millions as you can.
It is a very war room kind of game.
Exactly.
Where
it sounds like the Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah,
right.
It's the implied violence. Plus, like everyone knows it. You know, everyone knows that big board kind of.
Yeah. And we grew up under that threat, you know. Yeah. I mean, where we were like, I mean, this is seriously as abstract and as easy as it gets. You know, this is a war that would be conducted exactly like a game.
Right.
You know, and so it's even, so ironically, it's even because it's just a map and lines going across it and shuffleboard stuff. It's like, that's pretty much what it would have looked like in the real scenario, you know, so.
It's also a game of like fighting deadlines almost, because the way it works is there's like four total stages that you'll go through.
Where five DEFCON levels.
Yeah, it starts at DEFCON 5. Okay. And you can do certain things, build certain units during that phase.
Okay.
And you know that there's a timer coming, and you have to just make sure you're set up for DEFCON 4 before DEFCON 4 hits. And then you're allowed to switch over certain bases to do other things. Like you can go into launch mode for your like nuclear missiles in like DEFCON 3. So you gotta, it's
that's
fighting
DEFCON
the timer.
1, but you can start launching your bombers and whatnot at 3. I mean, you can your jets and stuff. Move your sub fleet.
Speaking of deadlines, I really like the fact that you can actually, this game is made for like playing at the office. So you can actually, like, I think there's like a double escape clause. So you can like instantly minimize the game and like in a window.
Yeah, it's office mode
in case I walk by.
Exactly. And then it has a little like desk tray icon.
A little radioactive symbol in the
corner. That's funny.
And then like if there's like an event that you have like that demands your attention, a little notification pops up. So you just hit that and opens the game back up.
That's cool.
Yeah. There are quite a few modes too. There's the diplomacy one, and everyone starts off on the same side. Huh. And then, like, it becomes a matter of, I mean, it gives you these various incentives to sort of break and form independent packs within it. So basically, the monolithic block starts to splinter into coalitions and alliances. But it's a matter of, again, keeping those secret and trying to figure out if they're actually legitimate or if you're being played. And everyone's so nervous all the time. I mean, it really plays into game theory. And the Prisoner's Dilemma is a classic, you know, scenario. And it was actually developed to sort of speculate on the nature of decision making with global thermonuclear war. And you get in these scenarios where it says a launch is detected, and you can tell that someone launched a missile, but you can't tell who or what unless you're in a full alliance with them in which you agree to like make visible all of your assets and stuff. Kind of like, you know, the whole mutual assured destruction agreement we had with Détente, where it's like, let's just be visible to one another so we know we're not going to go nuts on it. But so you see a launch detect and you're like, who did that? And you kind of see the area and you're like, that could be my partner's subs doing,
got to be North Korea
doing it, doing a like a first strike initiative on me. And then so you might flip out and then start launching back toward him, and it turns out you were wrong and it was really the enemy who snuck a sub down, but then now you're screwed because you just fired on your friend. And it's cool stuff. I mean,
it sounds great.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's all about the execution. I mean, it's all about the implementation of your ideas rather than than you know, hand-eye coordination or the, you know.
These guys are definitely, you know, they're two for two so far with Crisis and, I mean, not Crisis, sorry, Uplink and Darwinia.
Darwinia.
Yeah, both. I think both of them got like strategy games of the year for when they came out.
Is there any dirt farming?
There's no dirt farming, no resources at all. So I love that part about it. It's really
except for the body count you harvest.
Kind of play. It's almost like an online board game or something.
Right.
Where you don't have to wait to take turns. Yep. You know, in real time.
I think it comes out at the end of this month. Is that right?
Yeah, it comes out in mid-September.
Yeah, so just get it. I mean, don't even.
It's $9.99 too.
It's such a no-brainer.
Oh, so it's $9.99.
Wow. Yeah, boy,
I could be wrong. I mean, go check it.
Well,
but
I think
the website is everyonedies.com.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I felt bad because I googled that first instead of just put the .com in, and I was like. Like, if someone sees that, you know, you're like, if someone sees your search and they're like, what the hell? Someone just, man, everyone dies. Like, my next search is like Slayer Reunion or something.
You're now on the NSA watch or something.
Boy, we're going to need this whole time just for what you're playing. This is what happens when we don't see each other. But I got a signal from Mr. Malloy over there that we should snip for a little break here.
I made the cut sign.
Yeah, the cut sign was we're going to be right back after these important words. From our sponsors.
Hello, and welcome to the 1UP Radio Network. If you know the name of the podcast you'd like to hear, press 1 now. You have selected Radio PM, starring the editors of the official U.S. PlayStation magazine. To download an episode at radiopm.1up.com, press 1 now. To listen to a promo, press 2 now. In a world ripped apart by war, only one magazine.
Hi, we're back.
Wait a second, we have sponsors?
Now we don't have sponsors, I was kidding.
We're sponsored by whatever promo I decide to cut in.
Right, we're sponsored by the EGM podcast.
Except EGM, forget those.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, some funny, before I keep rattling off on my Monopoly and now playing.
That's
I'm the only one playing all these games this
week. Yeah, you weren't here last week, Sean. So
I was on vacation.
You can monologue a little bit.
Quick ways to have extra fun in Dark Messiah and Company Heroes Online is Dark Messiah has got a way to send audio messages that are pre-recorded to the rest of your team. It's like it could be, and they make no sense. Like you could be sneezing or coughing. Mm-hmm. There's like cheers, sobbing, and all this stuff. It's like, so like when you just decide it's time to sneeze, whatever. But
well, that's like wow stuff,
right?
But it makes more sense
here,
in that sort of
there's
game,
one
right?
that's a raspberry. So okay. It's just like, you know, make a raspberry, but there's no
hilarious.
There's no limit to it. It won't block you out for abusing the option or something.
Oh,
so what you see is like an undead mage walking around in his granny robes. It's just like and like everything he does, he won't stop doing that. So that's kind of fun. And then another
thing that's fun, all right.
We've been meaning to do this is not right, and I shouldn't be advocating, but what the hell, because it's fun and everyone can do it one time and laugh. But in Company Heroes, if you pick like a 2v2 game and you have a friend go on the opposite team and you're on opposite teams and then you each have a partner. And so right off the bat, you just get your engineers and you go and you start building like anti-tank fortifications all around their tank factories and bases and stuff. I'm defending, you know, I'm helping, I'm reinforcing your base, and you play it off that way. But then like he spawns a tank and it's just encased in concrete and all kinds of other crap that he's got to then build guys to demolish it, or the right, you know, have his engineers go work it out. And that's fun for one time. So
you should probably have your own like griefing column in CGW.
Well, yeah, but that's just that like point, but like we don't encourage
it. It causes so much hate and we don't publicly encourage it, but sometimes it's fun. I mean, it's like I think you should laugh at that. If someone did that to me, it's not like ruined your whole game. I mean, you just quit out and like, okay, chances are you're going to get kicked for lag or something anyway. I mean, the odds of that are pretty high.
I've been griefed
game.
A lot, and sometimes I'll laugh at it. I remember playing a three-way game of, was it either Age of Empires 2 or was it StarCraft? I forget. It must have been Age of Empires 2. It was a three-way game, and this guy said he wanted to ally with me. So he built towers all over my cities, you know, to help defend me. But secretly, he had allied with the other guy, You know, nice. I mean, and so he was just setting it up.
So he switched it
so
up.
So there were towers all over, and then all of a sudden, yeah, he switched the alliance, and I was dead. And I laughed. I was like, bravo, that was well done.
Well met.
Yeah. I haven't been had that many times, but, like, usually just stupid goofball stuff, and I encourage it, actually. As long as it's done with a sense of humor, like some creativity.
Yeah, there's some good stuff.
I mean, we actually are playing these games for fun, in theory.
Right.
Not to actually win because we're trying to prove something, right? Yeah. Or are we? I don't know. Mr. Malloy, what have you been playing?
Just World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Do you still have raids on your home calendar, Tom?
Penciled raids into my home calendar. It's sad.
Wow. So you're fully sucked back in.
I'm totally sucked back in as of the last 3 weeks. Like, I had taken a break with my level 60 character for a while, and then I just got into a good guild, and I'm totally 100%, 130% sucked back in.
So are you just like raiding full time now, or what are you doing in WoW?
Mostly raids, and that's the stuff that takes, you know, the crazy time commitment. Like, the reason you have a calendar is because, like, you got to get 40 people together, and you can only do it at 6:30, so let's go.
Right. So are you playing a level 60 guy? And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got my priest. Got my priest.
I just got up to 56 last night, so I'm getting there.
So...
Egbert is level 56.
Tom's like this. I wish we had a soundboard so we can have more dots.
Yeah,
We were doing Onyxia. We were doing Oni. And that's what our guild leader kept saying, more dots, and then we got yelled at for not putting enough dots on.
Wow.
But he was DKP. Serious? He was serious. He wanted dots?
It's real. That's what you got to do. Well, that's what you do.
Everybody
on Oni.
Plays.
Does that tie into
Phase 2 of Onyxia requires many dots.
Phase 2.
Enough warlocks.
Is Onyxia? No, it wasn't Onyxia where this current little fiasco happened.
Oh, Kel'Thuzad.
Oh, yeah, Kel'Thuzad.
It's Ramis.
Hey, right. Ralphie, weren't you on Kel'Thuzad? No? Ralphie? No?
Whoa. Nah, G.
No, Ralphie this week.
No, Ralphie. Oh, well.
Not on that. Onyxia, I'm tired of hearing about that.
Yeah. We don't want to talk about that?
No, just I'm thinking of, like, because, I mean, like, as someone who doesn't play, that's the one thing you always hear about.
You always hear about Onyxia, right?
True. You're rating Onyxia win.
Well, what happened in, it's in our little items, our news blurb items.
Oh, you want to jump ahead?
What happened, just since we're on that topic, what happened with that?
Last shout out, Point of Existence mod that I didn't talk about. I won't talk about it, but check it out. Downloads on Filefront.
It's Point of Existence?
Yeah, it's a cool mod for Battlefield 2 if you like that sort of thing, but you're tired of, if you want, I don't know, I think more accuracy in the infantry engagements and a number of cool introductions that they have, like TV guided missiles on personnel carriers and stuff. It's a fun game.
You recommend that over Battlefield 2142?
Yeah, it's so much better. I got them both at the same time, and all I want to play is Point of Existence over. Some frustration comes with it. So the caveat that if you you have to be ready to accept, like in I forget the name, but a more strategic, you know, realistic sort of, you know, put that in quotes, sort of shooter. Like, if you're infantry and you're fighting tanks, just expect to lose and don't get mad. Instead, just spawn at your main base and get a tank, or just pick an infantry map. But between the two, yeah, it's like Point of Existence is so much more satisfying than 2142.
So when we're free to talk about 2142, we're going to have to sit here and discuss, like, what went wrong.
Right.
But it's kind of interesting.
That was a company with a great track record.
Yeah.
Well, it is kind of interesting, though, when, I'm just thinking back to when Battlefield Vietnam came out, and, like, I know I preferred playing Desert Combat.
Right. Actually, I did, too.
It is. So that was, like, a mod being better than the
Totally.
Iteration. So.
Yeah.
So maybe you just have to wait till Battlefield 3 for them to, you know, make good.
Catch up with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we can move on to news items of the week, and there was the one I was just mentioning.
Well, Jeff, you want to go for it?
No, you take it, Darren. That's your job.
Yay.
My job is to just sit here.
Okay, so apparently the Death and Taxes Guild just about finished with all the current content in World of Warcraft, and so you're going to have to help me out with the pronunciation on some of this stuff, guys.
The next Ramas!
That's good.
Kel'Thuzad!
Yeah, good, that's about right.
Nice. Okay. Well,
no. Look at that. It's like a click. It uses a clicking language. The count.
It's got the apostrophe.
No, it's not. It's not the African click.
He's not Dombe.
The Kung or the Kalahari.
Anyway, so apparently at the bottom of some Uber dungeon, there's a final boss.
That's Nox Ramas.
Yeah. Thank you. And the final
there's
boss.
There's two X's though for
that, double X.
Yeah, for that
double X
pleasure.
Large,
extra
yeah.
evil.
It's ribbed. Anyway, after attempting the big boss battle, the guy disappeared. The boss just disappeared.
Did he ever show up, or was he just not there? Do we know?
Sounds like he was there and then glitched out of existence.
It was there and then despawned.
I think the reason this is a big deal is that this would be something that had taken many people, many months to get to this guy.
Me, I'm reading this shit. I see Kel'Thuzad Nox Ramos, and they found a bug, and I'm like, the next news item is someone's playing Just Cause, and, you know, I went up to this building, and it looked like my gun was inside the building, but I couldn't shoot inside the building.
Right, it isn't like that kind of bug.
News.
No, this is like people working for months like to get to a certain goal, and they get to the end boss, and then he's not there.
Yeah, it's a bigger bug.
Or he is there, and then just goes, poof.
Yeah. He vanishes. I'm not entirely sure what happened.
So what I want to know is, you know, because we have a quote here from... it was up on Blizzard's website. What does it say?
Although Blizzard is
working on finding the bug that despawned Kel'Thuzad, according to the guild's website, Kel'Thuzad did end up respawning, but the source of the problem remains unknown. So they did get him eventually, right? Or did they?
Well, they probably fought him. I don't know if they beat him. Usually these kind of things...
Blizzard
like,
it carted takes, him out so they could beat on him.
Once they get to like a final boss, you won't hear about anyone beating it for like a month or two. Sometimes,
so it's a little dude on a push
while
cart.
While they figure it out. Because it's a big coordinated effort where like you just have to like figure out what your 40 people really need to be doing exactly. Mm-hmm.
So some magical dwarves had to go...
This is why it takes so long to get to this guy and why... You know, no one's got to him to figure out that he despawns after you fight him once.
And I hope he gets some good loot for that.
Yeah, I sure hope some GM comes back out with a talent.
Death and Taxes a role-playing guild? Because that would be rad to see the chat logs on how they dealt with that kind of dude behind the curtain scenario.
Exactly.
I don't think there's any.
They'd have to make up, rationalize some...
I don't think they exist.
Role-playing
guilds?
Oh,
yeah, they do.
Not raiding guilds. I don't think.
I doubt this is on an RPG server.
I think raiding is such like a... It's almost like being in the army. Like everyone, you have to talk about such game mechanic stuff while you're doing it that it just totally would break any immersion.
So there's no time to say, Kel'Thuzad, it was the last of the...
You know who else compared raiding to being like in the army?
Who's that?
The dives dude that we were just quoting.
He said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was part of it.
Well, there's probably some truth to that there, huh?
Yeah.
I
wonder how that army sounds on the RP servers. I'm just dying to know.
It says here that they claimed on their forums that Kel'Thuzad fled the guild, so they were role-playing.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, there was some role-playing.
Nice.
He fled.
He fled before us.
Uh-huh. Run, coward.
All right, Darren, just move on. Carry on.
All right, we'll take it back to the top.
Kel'Thuzad deserves no more than 5 minutes.
Exactly, he's done. He just de-rezzed.
A lifetime to find.
All right, so last week we had a quick leak about the pricing for Windows Vista. It was on Amazon's Canadian page. And it turns out the pricing wasn't that far off from what it is officially. So I'll just run it down quick so we can get past it. Windows Vista Home Basic, which is basically just the bare bones essence, is $200. Upgrade from XP is $100.
Now let me interrupt you right away. When we say, you know, bare bones basic, I mean, we don't really know exactly yet what these components are, right?
That's what they're saying. But I mean,
Notepad...
I'm guessing WordPad and like, you know, IE.
WordPad and Minesweeper and the ability to boot your computer. That's probably going to be it.
Right. And it is kind of curious because it says like the Windows Vista Home Premium, which is probably what everyone's going to want to get. Full package is $239, upgrade $159. It says all the gaming, multimedia, internet stuff is there. So it just gets exactly right. I'm wondering, what the hell is it that they're having in this premium package?
You get
not
multimedia,
in...
you get paint.
It says multimedia and internet, which means, right.
Wait, so...
Hearts Online.
Holy crap. So they're telling me that, like, the basic computing doesn't even include the internet? Isn't kind of like the internet, like, a
home
given
basic,
at this point?
Basic computing, you get a DOS prompt.
Yeah.
With the window, with
here's your freaking basic version, you cheapskate.
And premium, you get gaming, multimedia, and internet, which means you get Minesweeper, Paint, and IE.
Uh-huh. Yay!
And Windows Media Player.
That's right. 11, probably. Okay, then there's the Business Edition. Well, who cares? Then the Ultimate Edition is basically everything. And that's a mere $400 for the full package, or an upgrade is $259.
Well, I wonder if they're going to get Office bundled in with it.
They damn well better for that much.
$400 is a lot of money.
That's a lot of damn money right there. Mm. All right, so I think you can just skip past that.
So save your pennies now, kids,
exactly,
or for Windows Vista.
The thing that kind of scares me is like how much that's going to impact the cost of a new computer. Because obviously when they... buy a licensed, you know, version of this, you know, OS for a new computer.
When did what year did XP come out?
What
do we remember?
2000.
I want to say 2002.
Yeah. That
okay.
Right.
So it's actually been a while since we've been forced to upgrade our operating system. Not to be an apologist for Microsoft, but I mean, this seems about right years wise, doesn't it? I mean,
well, there was Windows 95, 98, 2000.
ME.
Yeah.
So it's been.
Though I'm definitely going to have to be convinced to upgrade. Well, I'm not going to be an early adopter here.
Well, I mean,
I'll say that right now.
Yeah, they really need to show what the hell DX10 is going to do right off the bat. And I, mm-hmm. you know, not to like, you know, jump topics too much, but I don't know if Halo 2 is going to do it.
Well,
yeah. Well, we'll see.
Halo 2.
All right. Mm-hmm. Next. So, the Amazing Online Race. So, for anyone who's a sucker for all those reality game shows like Amazing Race, which I'm actually kind of hooked on, kind of embarrassed to admit that.
You applied for it, didn't you?
No.
That was Robert Coffey.
Robert Coffey did, though. Him and Robert.
I was just making that up. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, Robert applied for Amazing Race.
They would have kicked ass on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the guys behind that are actually putting together, I guess, partnering with AOL Properties, and they're making a reality web game, or as they're calling it, a game log, or a glog.
A glog.
Oh, God.
That's what we needed.
OMG. Holy crap. Anyway,
okay.
So I'm just going to read straight from the press release here. The Gold Rush Glog, it's called Gold Rush, will announce new game challenges and feature play-by-play from game officials. And basically where it goes from there is everyone's open to this thing, and you look for there are pop cultural trivia questions and clues hidden on different AOL property sites. So it could be CBS TV shows, magazines, and it just...
So the play-by-play from a game official is going to sound like, and Bobby Botep is over on AOL Love Chat looking for the latest clue.
Yeah, I'm
buying Tide, he now knows that he needs to go over to whatever, therecordstore.com.
And on Flavor of Love.
Right, so all the clues, this
is
just like...
type the URL.
This is all just marketing,
it's just
right?
a crummy That's commercial. It's like the Christmas story.
Right, you got to search. Yeah, right, you said Tide boxes. And
exactly. It's the red...
Ovaltine. Yeah, that's what this is.
So this isn't this isn't anything new at all. I mean, you can go to any... I was looking at Frito-Lay's website the other day. I don't know why. And but like every single Frito-Lay, you know, product, like Doritos has its own page. But then there's like Doritos games.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Click on the nacho cheese Doritos.
Oh, God. My girlfriend's been playing the Baskin-Robbins Hunt for the Pink Spoon game.
What?
What are you talking
like, she
about?
She played it for an
why?
Hour. I don't know. She's into it, though, because it's like it mixes trivia with like geography.
Dude, that might be a fireable offense
like,
for you.
You have to like
skip
around.
You got to tell her to play something more real.
You have to skip around like the map of the country finding the spoon, and then you got to answer. Like, it gives you hints as to where it's at. Like, no. This location, whatever, so-and-so
like
building.
I was about to say, it's like,
she has access to the entire library of PC gaming because of you.
I know. And now
she's playing
got,
a game on a Baskin-Robbins.
Every PopCap game.
Hunt for the pink spoon.
Seriously. You know, it's like, it's such a shameless ploy, but the only thing that is even remotely redeemable is that you actually are competing for money. So, I mean, that's kind
of
cool.
Here's the last line. Up for grabs are millions of dollars of gold hidden in plain sight.
Plain sight on CBS properties.
Like we said.
Yeah, why did you say millions of dollars of gold? But they're going to pay you in gold bullion?
I'm going to rent a backhoe and uproot this glog. I want to know where the gold's at.
Warcraft
I'm
going
to get my rotor meter.
Yeah. Oh, Sean Malloy's excited if it's Warcraft gold. Yeah, so...
I don't condone that.
I mean, it's interesting that somebody as big as the Amazing Race folks are getting involved, I guess, but... Basically, this is just
is
a marketing
amazing?
Scheme.
But people do it. Look
it's
at clipping coupons and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
and
people
it's
are into
the
that
new,
kind of
like, you just got to work harder for that... It's like the bird and the little seed drops out when it does something. You just got to work harder for that seed now.
When do you feel stupid playing this thing, though? This is like Publisher's Clearinghouse or something.
it's like that.
It totally is a target version.
Stick the little Post-it, lick it, stick stickers on
them. Yeah.
But the funny thing is, it's like everyone's doing this now. I mean, like Lost did it this summer.
Right. But
that
pushes the storyline. But I'm just saying, like, it's kind of like, I mean, that's...
Because that was like, you're at least involved in the TV show's mythology.
How the dude had a machete. Explain how there were fireworks on the plane.
Okay.
We're going to totally
sorry, Darren, we're dissing you.
All right.
Did you guys see the Battlestar Galactica webisodes, by the way?
Last night,
it was kind of cool.
Turn it on quickly.
Wait, what's this?
Well, Battlestar Galactica, while they're waiting for season 3 to start on the Battlestar Galactica or the Sci-Fi channel website, sci-fi.com, they're actually broadcasting every Tuesday and Thursday these 4-minute episodes of you know, they look like they were like cutting room floor outtakes or something.
Right. Just like low budget film stock or whatever. Right.
But it's actually with some of the main actors from the series right. in it. Little things sort of like it's supposed to be what's happening in between seasons 2 and 3, yeah. which I just think is kind of a neat development in TV history, right? That there's even the ability to do this. I mean, 10 years ago, we couldn't have imagined waiting in between seasons of a TV show we liked. And then you'd be able to watch little free episodes of that show on the web.
They're killing two birds with one stone by providing their DVD extras in advance, getting those mm-hmm. knocked out for when the season 3 box set comes out.
Right.
Throw them together on there.
Anyway, I'm sorry. That was a random tangent. Not even related to gaming. I just kind of got geeked out about Battlestar this summer.
Battlestar is fun.
Yeah, there probably is a Battlestar game on their site, isn't there?
Didn't you mention, Darren, somewhere in an email this week about a
well, there was some news leaks, working on one? I've been checking with Vivendi. There's not much news yet, but there was word that of an investor relations document that kind of slipped out there that people just kind of stumbled upon.
Uh-huh.
And in it, they mentioned some of like the upcoming Vivendi games, and one of them was a Battlestar Galactica game.
Cool.
So, no word yet as far as exactly what it is. It could be just a super little, you know, thing on mm-hmm. Xbox Live Arcade, or it could be like a real full-fledged thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, there's plenty of mods with the new Battlestar ships and stuff in them, Battlefield stuff, some of the, what is it? What's the space game that was released on Steam a while ago? It had been
X2?
Out for a while. X2, yeah, there's like a...
Or X3, rather.
X3, yeah. You can get Cylon ships and Vipers. And
cool.
Stuff.
All right. Yeah. Just jumping on.
Yeah, move on there, so Mr. The, Gladstone.
So, according to the 10 best-selling games, as listed for... Okay, according to the NPD group, the top-selling PC games for ending the week of August 26th. So, Madden, NFL 07, obviously, you know, huge. Number 2, World of Warcraft, still. I find that really amazing. The Sims 2, number 3... Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 Gold. Now, here's the one... Here's where it starts getting into wacky territory. Okay, so the number... What is it? The number 5 top-selling game. Ryan, your favorite game, right?
Ryan.
Hey. When it's time to change. Nancy Drew, Danger by Design by Her Interactive.
Yeah, that...
That kind of threw me for a loop.
That's true. Yeah,
Danger by Design.
Shall we point out what didn't make the list while Nancy Drew Danger by Design did make
Please
it?
Please do point out.
Prey. Not on here.
Rise of Legends.
Rise of Legends. Not on here.
Titan Quest,
which
not on here.
You figure that game would get some.
But Nancy Drew, Danger by Design,
and
is on
Cars,
there.
THQ,
Cars, right, THQ.
Cars makes it a few lists down. So, Cars. So who, where did that come from?
What's the
Walmart?
Warcraft?
I'm betting that's the Walmart crowd.
And look at it, you got Madden, which nobody buys on the PC.
I find that surprising.
Except for everybody who bought it, who made it the number one best selling PC game. Nobody buys Madden on the PC.
I found that very surprising that Madden was the number one PC game. Because we know everybody's buying it for the Xbox and the PC. Or PS.
After it's number one.
We didn't help it get to number one.
You got Sims 2, which, well, as you pointed out to me, that's a little different. But it's...
Games like Sims 2, I mean, that's just like evergreen for a list.
I imagine
that's
always
going
to
be there.
I imagine that's probably something that sells to a lot in those kinds of stores.
Something to point out, actually, two Sims 2 things are on that list.
Mm-hmm.
So Sims 2 is like high up there, and then number 6 is they're open for business expansion.
Is it too mm-hmm. early for Pets?
It is too early for Pets. Pets isn't out yet officially.
It's still always surprising me.
Stay tuned.
It's cool that Civ 4 is still on there.
Yes.
Dude,
after
cool.
all this time. It's such an extraordinary complex game. And
that's good.
Civ 4 actually has, you know, it sort of in its quiet way is very mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't get a lot of play, but it's a really solid big hit.
And it's only as complex as you want to make it. I mean,
mm-hmm. I love that game.
Yeah,
and yeah, cool. Interestingly enough, Warcraft 3 is on the list.
Well, Warcraft 3
the battle test.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't think that offers anything new there, right?
Well, it's been there for a while. I mean, it's not like
yeah.
A lot of, I mean, what about the computers that are playing these too? I mean, that's another thing.
You know, maybe Warcraft 3 is just coming from like World of Warcraft fans who are like now on a
discovering.
See, yeah,
none of
yeah.
the games
discovering
on here,
the
with the exception of Elder Scrolls, are really demanding
out.
On your PC. You know, says a lot right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to say that the Nancy Drew thing is. I mean, it's easy for us to make fun of something like that, but it's actually kind of cool in a way. I think that a game like that is on here. You know, a game that is appealing to, girls is something that this industry gets criticized a lot about for not doing. You know, so the fact, well, maybe the game sucks, though, so then it's not good. I don't know.
But why say that when it's like, I mean, you've got both sexes buying Civ 4, buying Sims, buying Warcraft.
Good point, actually.
Buying Roller Coaster Tycoon. All, that's the other thing. Aside from being relatively easy to handle on a PC, these are widely
multi-gender
games.
That's a good point.
So
I stand corrected. You're right. This is a top 10 list of games that
so
have
the one
very
that,
wide
that, that
appeal
promotes
to both
gender
sexes.
Stereotypes appears. No, I don't know. Maybe
okay, you're right.
Who knows? She's
Screw
a detective.
Nancy Drew.
She's a detective.
She's a sexist. Yeah, she's a detective.
Yeah, so that's not a traditional
stereotypical
female role.
Yeah, detect this, Nancy Drew.
I don't like where that's going. It's going to turn into an IGN preview of Dead or Alive.
let's ixnay the.
We can talk about it. It's
ixnay
out there
on
public.
The IS day.
There's a text and it's talking about how the children are sexy, and I found it made me queasy. So much like you're detecting in Nancy Drew stuff.
Pederasto, a game for the whole family.
Okay.
Anyway,
let's move quickly beyond
please,
this.
Please, let's
we're,
go
we're offending everybody this week.
No, B.
I feel
no one to say.
Please don't offend the pederasts.
Core audience.
Core audience.
Sorry, everybody.
Well, think about it. Like you were talking about the Stars of David on the sleeves in the context of the other game, and it's out of bounds when I'm talking about something that someone else wrote on the internet. It's on the internet, man.
It's on the internet.
You're right. It's on the internet. Public access.
Yeah.
What's up next, Mr. Gladstone?
All right. Well, how are we doing on time?
We've probably been talking for 2 hours.
50 minutes. We've
Jeebus,
been talking.
50 minutes.
Okay.
All right. So, how about we just skip ahead? Go to
skip ahead.
German Games Convention.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about that. Let's get back on the German tip.
Let's come full circle.
That's right.
Let's
bring it. End it on a
high positive German.
Knocks der Halt.
I was going to say
German Games Convention.
There we go. Okay. So, according to GameIndustry.biz, Mark Rain, the capo di tutti capo over at Epic Games, came away with this impression of Leipzig Games Convention. This show will replace E3 as the world's premier gaming showcase venue. Basically, he says that it illustrates exactly what was wrong with E3. It's a great show. It's open to the public. And I can never understand why they wouldn't open E3 to the public. And he goes on to say, I bet if they had done it the way Leipzig does there, there would still be an E3 and it would be just as important to people. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, if you, after all that time, people were, you know, companies like EA were blowing millions upon millions of dollars, and they had nothing really to show for it except for a couple of reporters' opinions.
Wasn't it like the Penny Arcade Expo that recently happened over in in Washington? Because you know that was also open to the public as well.
Mm-hmm. They've been open at E3 to the public for as long as I've been going there.
Well, no, they do have these artificial barriers they put on it. I mean, like you have to have some kind of in-game industry credentials. I mean, granted, you get in because you were working at EB at the time, so you kind of finagled it, right?
Is that pretty much it? For a couple of years I was working.
Yeah, but like it was basically like it was still a weeding out process. If they made it, and granted, it was still really crowded.
You had to sell 50 pre-orders. Of,
what is this grit?
Of Nancy Drew to get in.
I mean, I've seen like little kids walking around at E3.
Right. I mean,
I wanted to kick those kids. Get out of my way. I'm late for an appointment.
But that's the thing is, if it became a show for the public without officially being for the public, I mean.
Well, that was the thing. It was a show for the public without actually letting the whole public in. It set up this lame line, and I think they would have fixed it, or at least made it easier for us to navigate. It was just to have like a pre-press day or two where it's just
or three,
where it's just the show floor and like the volume turned down and everyone just walking around doing your thing.
Yeah.
But, so is Leipzig really the one that's gonna be the new E3, or was this just being said because it happens to be one of the two that happened right after E3 was canceled?
Well, I think it is a pretty big one, but also, I mean, something to keep in mind is that the at least for the PC market, which is it's huge in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It's more so than here in the U.S. sometimes, I think.
I think so. I verified that.
German PC gaming, that's huge,
I mean...
Therefore, we take back every nasty thing we said about the Germans early in the podcast.
Hey, you said
saving
it.
PC gaming.
We love you, brothers.
That's right. Achtung, baby.
Don't do that now. You ruined it.
What?
It's a U2 album.
It's a
okay.
U2 album. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're so randomly nervous and then brash at the same time.
It's what happens when you get old, man.
And 1 minute you're like, screw all y'all. Then oh, my God, Darren, you can't say awesome. That means danger or something.
Attention.
You're right.
Anyway, so there was one interesting point that Mark raised in his his comments. The only negative I could think of it is that there's more of a Germany thing than the show, but it's very hard to show mature games because of the rules they have in the country.
Oh.
So, like, basically, they would be showing the game, and it's M-rated, so anytime anyone under 18 was in the room, they had to shoo them out.
Right. But if E3 had been open to the public that way, they would have had to do the same thing,
probably,
don't you think?
Well, I mean, I would like to think they would, but something tells me it's not as strictly enforced here as it is in Germany.
What's the attendance like in...
They would have, dude. Because think of like the rules on selling games based on their rating.
Yeah, but how tightly are those enforced?
And then
though?
Also, well, I mean, they were.
There's gonna be
Ryan did see kids in E3. I don't know how they got there because we both know that like when we get our freelancers in, we have to have like their driver's license or birth certificate or some equivalent.
Yeah.
To indicate that they're over 18.
I don't know how these kids got in.
Exactly.
Their parents kids, like threw them over the wall or something.
Right. These kids get in, and then you walk around the show, and it's not like. There's like these blinders around each booth. You walk past Activision and there's, Quake War's enemy territory.
I don't see any kids. Now I think about it. I've seen like people with pube stashes and stuff that could pass for kids, but not like legitimate kids.
I
pube stashes.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It took me a minute to parse that.
You think of like Merkin or something?
No, it's just like all like kind of.
We know.
No, yeah.
We get it now.
Yeah, stand down, everyone.
E3,
it's
okay. The one thing.
DEFCON 5.
No more pube stashes.
Does Leipzig have more attendees than E3?
Well, I think they had, over 100,000 people show up this year? What was the attendance for E3?
I don't know. That means a lot of people, though. Yeah. 100,000.
And also, you know what? I mean, quite honestly, like, Europe's probably a little more central to, for everyone to come there as opposed to everyone coming to the U.S. for E3. Just a thought.
Hi, excuse me. We're the center of the universe.
Oh, right. I keep forgetting that. Sorry.
I don't know. That's just kind of weird. Where do you set that? Because
I mean, it's tough. But
from the east, they cross the Pacific. And
okay, fine. Let's put it in the middle of the Atlantic then. Okay.
It's not going to work either.
Core of the Earth is probably the best place.
The core of the Earth.
Space.
Awesome.
I'm going to say that.
Space.
I think a little, maybe the mantle, maybe the upper crust. But... All right. That's it. Let's just skip over to the questions. We have time for questions.
Do we have time for questions?
Sure. A couple questions.
We need to get, this is for listeners, something we want. So hang in there. We're going to make it happen. We're going to get it so that you can call in and this will be live.
Download Skype now.
And yeah, through Skype. And I want to get some of you. Call in when you're in the middle of a game and let us hear some of that madness. Jeff's like, I don't want any of that crap on my show.
Well, make sure to make it that face. Like,
but yeah, so we're going to take Reader.
Like in the middle of like a WoW raid or something?
Yeah, we'll get some people in the middle of a WoW raid and talk to us and we can get some soundboards going so we can drop like monster kill, like all that kind of
ultra kill.
All right, Jeff, take me out with an ultra kill.
That's a good idea. No, I'm for that.
Let's make it fun.
So we have the soundboards for next time, too. Got to get the WAV files out.
Okay, so I'm looking at the questions here. Here's one I kind of like. Tara Snugs Nelson asks, do you get constant offers of, hey, join my Uber guild, I'll power level you, or things like that? Have you ever had any weird or unsettling interactions with readers of CGW?
How much time we have?
If so, would you please tell your craziest story? Were you guys here when the guy actually showed up at our office here because he was a fan of us? Remember?
I think I was there for that.
And then he like wanted to sit in our editorial meeting.
Yeah,
which was kind of it's like
that
ooh.
One.
Yeah,
I had something like that happen once. It was way back.
Are you gonna tell us?
No, I mean it was. Okay. I think you're talking about a different guy, but
okay.
it was a similar like a fan came to the office because he was in the area. I don't know if you were there, but I know, like, me and Ken and, like, Robert ran into him on the elevator.
Did you call security?
No, we were, like, going down for lunch or something. And
did he stop you guys and recognize you? He's like, hey, aren't you? Was it that kind of thing? Or
it was something like, maybe he had gone up to, like, reception and asked for us or something, but
it's kind of weird, don't you think?
Yeah,
I mean, with all due respect to the people who like us a lot, I mean, certainly we're happy when people like us and like our magazine, but I can't imagine going to someone's place of business to say hi because I thought they were cool. I mean, would you ever do that at, like, a magazine you liked?
You know about the classic one that happened on our same floor to another mag in the game group where the guy got in somehow And he goes over in the editor, the office of the editor-in-chief of Electronic Gaming Monthly, and he stands there, and he starts, like, box-stepping, like nervous, like, you know, like speech 101 college class where the kid's face just turns pale. Uh-huh. It looks like he could just fall over at any word. So, like, he puts some paper on the desk with some, like, piece of crap, like, preview or something on it, and then he starts saying, like, that from the Eminem 8 Mile thing, like, if you only had one shot, would you take that? Would you take that shot? I don't know how it goes, but just like stammering that nonsense out.
Wow.
And then so.
Oh my God.
That's, so they, yeah, that's I see. Awesome. He's just looking at him like, how did you get in here? You know, like what's all this? And that kid's just still like going off on that. If you only had one shot, I do not miss this chance to glow. I only got one chance in a lifetime, yo.
Wow.
I'm not making this up. Wow. I slipped in Ralphie on it, but that's a real story. Then they just got him out of there. He's like, okay, I'll take a look at it. But and then they somehow got him out.
That's kind of creepy.
I had a guy in the bus when I was taking a CGW Huxley cover story home with me in the folder, the printouts. Basically, we have, you know, these big proofs that we scan for, make sure everything works out the way we're hoping it works out. And I was going over that on the BART, you know, the BART train, which is our Bay Area Rapid Transit. And the guy next to me just like looks over, and I was like, I'm not giving away any secrets. It's like, sure, some 40-year-old guy next to me. And he's like, I've been a subscriber for 10 years. He's like, it looks like a good one. And he was cool. I was like, cool. That's good to hear. And then he didn't need to talk to me the whole time or nothing. Mm-hmm. He just was like, he just recognized it. And
yeah, you know, I did the opposite at the San Diego airport when I was on my Games for Windows tour, because there was a guy reading his copy of the Crisis issue.
And really?
Yeah, nice. Which I thought was cool. But I walked up to him and I said,
"You're the opposite."
I was the opposite.
Like that? Do you love me?
I know, it was so pathetic.
Love me.
It was so pathetic. I said, "Son, do you like that magazine?" He's like looking at me like, "Why are you talking to me?" You know, he had his iPod on, so not only was I bothering him, but I was like, you know, he had to like take off his headphones for me. Yeah. He's like, "What?" Like,
Turn to page four.
Yeah, do you like that magazine? He's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Oh, well, I'm the editor-in-chief of that magazine." And he looked at me like, like I give a shit.
You really did?
You did.
That's so bad.
There's your payback.
That's, well, anyway,
gotta go now.
Have a good flight.
That's like, my friend was
love me.
Was in L.A. at a convenience store, and he sees Poison, and he's like, "Whoa, holy shit! Are you guys Poison?" It was like two or three of the guys
at 7-Eleven,
and then they're like, "Yeah, yeah, you want our autograph?" And he's like, I can't say the F word, I guess. I did before, but they're like, he's like, F no. And then he just like walked out. But yeah. So that's pretty much what happened to you. It's
yeah,
like
kind
Poison
of.
In this
yeah.
case.
I mean, he was a subscriber, so he liked us, but I didn't have to go like, I work on that. It was a little sad. It was a little bit of a cry.
Why'd you do that, man?
It was a little bit of a cry for love. I was at the airport. I was lonely.
After a week of having to do your song and dance.
I was 2 weeks of spreading the Games for Windows love.
I made that, man.
I made that.
I think, let me say, for me, I never actually, you know what? I'm just kind of wondering. Like you play WoW as Egbert. I mean,
yeah.
Like, do you guys
Egbert every once in a while, Egbert gets recognized when I'm running around. So, but usually people don't. You know, they're like, don't you like have a column in some magazine? It's like it's always a little bit vaguer. You know,
yeah.
Hey, are you the guy from PC Gamer? God damn it!
If you
no
in competitive games, it kind of sucks because then you've got to be like, you want to just be like, you know, not getting stressed, just playing your best and stuff. But then it's like, if people know it's me, they immediately want to prove themselves and like just they'll all try to kill
it's
me.
It's a crosshair on your head. All
I thought you're supposed to be good. I killed you. It's like, dude, this is deathmatch. Like all of us have got like 30 deaths. What do you think? I'm going to not die once in death?
You're like fatality if you work in a gaming magazine.
So I have to deal with that.
I think the only time, like, usually I try to like change my identities and stuff, but I think the one time I got recognized was in City of Heroes. Because like I had just finished writing the review and it went up online and in the magazine, and then like a couple people like recognized my character from the screenshots, and they're like, "Hey, can you join my join my super group and all that?" And they started throwing like influence points my way and shit. And,
I did have somebody did give Egbert a whole bunch of gold.
Oh, that's nice.
I told him not to.
Yeah, which was weird. You know, someone recognized me, and so they give me gold. I mean, it was nice. Thank you.
That's because they're going to start asking you for free games next.
Yeah, that's the next step.
And if they could write for us.
Yeah. Yeah. On Xbox Live,
I'll pay you in gold.
I had the EGM prefix, and that was the dumbest thing I'd ever done. It's like,
yeah.
Where are you from, EGM? Can I get free games? Can I get a job as a tester? I was like, we don't test games here, man.
It's been a while since we've got any email from anybody asking for free games or free PCs.
Yeah, so please, people, bring it on.
Oh, God, no. No.
You know, I got recognized in real life in Hawaii. I was in Hawaii with my wife and daughter, and we were at a luau, of all things. So we were at one of those long tables with like the pig on the table, mm-hmm. you know.
Nice.
And this guy, like two seats down, recognized me, and he was all excited.
Maybe that was the guy that stole your... Wait, was that...
No, this was a couple years ago.
No.
This is like, what kind of, I mean, if you call that celebrity, that's like five shades even below like a comic book writer or something.
Oh, thanks.
No, not, no, I mean, for
kidding,
all of us.
I'm
you
kidding.
Know,
it's I, like, know. Yeah. I know, I know.
That's, do you know?
No, actually,
you know
what was great was that, you know, my wife, you know, was like, holy crap. Yeah, maybe my husband isn't a complete loser.
Yeah, she was just all like excited, like there was a dude with the pube stash and a Spawn shirt with like a Spawn silk shirt, but she's still like, that guy knew you.
Yeah,
like,
actually,
we're in the middle of the fans. Pacific Ocean, and this dude fooled me.
Actually, she was more annoyed because he, like, you know, the guy who was a very nice gentleman, and you know, he was saying nice things about the magazine, but then of course he wanted to pick my brain about games.
Yeah.
You know? And it was going on for a while, and here I am on vacation finally,
right.
not around a computer, and now I'm talking about computer games somehow.
And
it's
she's
a little
like,
okay, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
So,
what'd you say?
So much for getting bonus points from that one.
We're like four shades below comic book writer.
I've heard of like comic book writers like warn one another, like, the worst thing
Ryan.
You could possibly do is think that you're famous. Like, I've heard them like do the warning one another about, you know, getting egos and stuff.
Going
about Mark Millar there.
Like, up above us is like the Snapple lady, like the someone that, someone that like a ring model for QVC, Home Shopping Network. You know, like, I mean, there's so many people above where we're at.
Yeah, no, we're not famous, and we like it that way.
Amen.
So we call that a wrap. Do anybody else have any good celebrity stories? I mean, being a celebrity stories?
No.
No.
Wait,
none?
Hold on. There's a question.
Oh, shit. Sure.
Okay.
There's a question here. Rod Cervantes asks, when will you guys bring Scorpia back?
Didn't we answer this last week?
Why is that question still on the list, man?
I don't know.
Just take it off the
list.
Why
does Rod Cervantes keep asking that question every week?
Because he likes Scorpia.
Cervantes, could you stop?
She's got a website
I put a shout out to Scorpia last week in the podcast, I believe. Yeah. Scorpia wants to chime in on the last issue of Computer Gaming World. I will happily let her do that. We are going to do a little bit of a retrospective. I don't want to spill all the beans of what we're doing in that last thing, but you know, some of the old editors in chief are going to be there as well. So
they will be there.
Actually,
it's going to be a party.
I want to make one random little plug here, just because in part of my 2 weeks of not helping out on this magazine, I've been doing all sorts of other podcasts and stuff to sort of spread the gospel of CGW. So I wanted to thank Gamasutra.com and Tom Kim over there who interviewed me. Also the folks at Escapist Magazine, EscapistMagazine.com, and Evil Avatar. I did podcasts with all those folks, and they
nice.
Were all very cool and very friendly and let me sort of yammer on about the magazine. So thanks
very,
to all you
cool.
dudes. Anybody else, any final words? Can I ask Sean what you've been drinking this entire podcast? You've been drinking this thing out of a box.
Something Darren brought into the office.
No, I did not bring it in.
Yeah,
what,
you did.
What is that?
Or it was shipped in.
Yeah, it was shipped in. Like, I don't know why I got this, but like basically there's this website called, I guess a free ad for them, I guess. But
excellent.
There you go.
This is why they sent it. Don't even say it. Let's end
it. Oh, you're right.
Now.
If we say it, they're going to get what they want.
This is exactly
want.
Why. Dude, no.
Don't, we are not
pull the plug.
To
we're
the
done.
Man.
And we out.
We are
no.
not your shit.
We're out.
We
we're out.
Out.
No, we no free ads. We're out. Goodbye.
That's it. Pull the plug, Sean. Hurry.